Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Issues is the name of this program. I'm Tim Wildman with Walker Wildman, and Steve Jordahl's in studio with us now. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning.
How are you?
I was doing well.
Okay.
Doing well, yeah. Good day.
Good day.
A little warm outside, but we're inside, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah. You know, that's a good observation right
there. Thank you.
Yeah, that was deep, Steve.
Huh? I'm here all day. I think you need wisdom, pearls of wisdom from Steve Jordahl.
It was factually based.
True.
As a reporter. As a newsman, the fact that you got it right, that you are inside.
That's true.
Is a good start.
Yeah.
All right. Well, good morning, Steve, again, and tell us what's leading the news.
I heard you guys talking about Walmart deciding not to sell ammunition and everything anymore. I thought I'd bring you some more craziness from out west. The San Francisco Board of Supervisors has passed a resolution declaring the National Rifle Association a domestic terrorist organization.
Wow.
And urging the federal government to do the same. They say they are going to, the city and county of San Francisco should take every reasonable step to limit those entities who do business with the city and county of San Francisco from doing business with this domestic terrorist organization.
The National Rifle Association, a domestic terrorist organization?
That's what they say.
According to the San Francisco
Board of Supervisors.
Board of Supervisors.
Yes.
I guess we can draw the line on now what they think about the Second Amendment.
That's true.
Yeah. Wow. A domestic terrorist organization, kind of like
Antifa.
Yeah, well, or that the left wouldn't call Antifa a. But I mean, they're basically saying this is akin to Al Qaeda.
Yeah, being in the U.S.
or something like that. The NRA is the.
Yeah.
As soon as you think the left can't get more left, they do.
I know.
They do.
Well, the San Francisco is wacky left.
They are.
I mean, they're really far, far out there.
The NRA issued a statement saying, you know what, you're really just trying to distract from all the problems you have in San Francisco, the homelessness,
the
dirty streets, the crime.
Mm-hmm. So I guess this rules out San Francisco as a convention site for the NRA.
I'm thinking that they probably are not going to be
at the
Moscone Center. No.
Gotcha. Okay.
And continuing in California.
By the way, what was it Walmart did exactly? Did they say they're going to reduce the amount of ammunition that they sell?
Walmart said Walmart stopped selling handguns some time ago, a couple years ago maybe. But they're going to stop. Walmart is going to stop selling pistol ammunition.
Okay.
And they've asked customers not to openly carry a firearm in their stores.
You mean like where you can see it?
Yes.
Well,
did they ask him not to, for concealed carry people not to come into?
I'm not sure they got into that.
Yeah, because I've never seen anybody in Walmart, you know, like Marshall Dillon.
You haven't been to the Walmarts I've been to.
Well, except that they're law enforcement, probably.
Right.
You know, maybe there are, but I know you can. But right. I'm talking about most people who carry don't necessarily want people to know.
That's true.
That they carry.
Yeah.
You know, so they have their firearm concealed.
Yeah.
As it were, but they didn't say anything about that, right? Walmart didn't.
No, I can see how, you know, if you've after these shootings, how someone walking into a Walmart with an exposed firearm could make people nervous. I could understand that.
And in fact, that happened just shortly, I think, after the El Paso shooting. Some guy in full body armor, and he just walked in there and stood and waited for someone to come and arrest him, which they did, and they charged him.
Was that the one in St. Louis?
I don't remember where it was, but it was shortly after the El Paso shooting.
But to think that if you don't sell pistol ammo, that's going to make the world a better place, you know, I can understand how not wanting people to openly carry firearms in the store. I could see how you want to how that makes sense, because you don't want to freak customers out in light of these shootings. But the other one about not selling pistol ammo, that one I can't make.
Guns don't kill people. Bullets kill people.
Yeah.
There you go. California, continuing, Governor Newsom there signed a bill on Tuesday that no longer requires any able-bodied person 18 years or older in the state to help a police officer who requests assistance during an arrest. They've had a law on the books since 1872, which says if a policeman is there and he's making an arrest and he's having a hard time, he can call over any able-bodied person to say, here, hold my...
to help him or her?
Help him or her, the police officer, to make the arrest. You know, help me pin this guy down.
So that's been around for 100-plus years.
More than 120 years.
Okay.
And
now they've outlawed it?
And now they have they have taken that law off the books. So it can no longer be... a police officer no longer has the right, or you don't have to agree to help them if they ask you for help. Now, who wouldn't want to help a police officer if he could? I don't think a police officer would willingly put your life in danger.
Right.
I mean, I'm assuming he's not saying, here's my gun, shoot this guy.
Mm-hmm. It's a continuation of the left's assault on police, is all I can say. Sounds to me like.
Yeah.
Huh?
You're
not compelled to help a police officer, but you're right. But you can, if you want to, assist him or her. I've often wondered, you know, with these police officers, you know.
Well, the
law said, 125-pound woman or 125-pound man, for that matter, and you run up against a 250-pound suspect.
So the law.
How are you supposed to deal? You know, I know they have their ways. Go ahead, Walker.
Sure. I was going to ask Steve. The law before was mandatory if an officer needs assistance, that a civilian assistant.
Oh, it was mandatory.
It was mandatory if an officer requested it.
Yeah. Which makes sense. It's like it's like it's mandatory to pull to the side of the road.
Like, come over here and help me. I don't know.
For nearly 150 years, they got along fine with this law, and I don't know how many police officers
ever used it anyway. But it's just
now they're saying we're going to take this away is signaling something.
Yeah, it's just. It's an anti-police law. This signed by the governor?
It was.
And Governor Newsom?
Yep.
Okay, Steve, we've had two California stories. That's about all I want.
All right, let's go to...
Can we move somewhere else?
We can. We can go to presidential candidates. Can we do that?
Okay, yes, please.
Cory Booker unveiled a $3 trillion climate change plan and an environmental justice plan. I have to give...
Give me the details.
I have to give Cory some credit here in that he's finally being honest about what this whole climate change... global warming scheme is. It's a wealth transfer scheme. So basically what he is saying is Cory Booker's plan aims to address both climate change and economic inequality. For years we've been For years we've been saying that this whole guise of climate change, what they want, all these expensive programs, it's only a sham to get money from the wealthy to the poor. That the wealthy have too much money and the poor don't have enough, so the government's going to take it away from the wealthy. They're going to give it to the poor. And this is exactly what Cory Booker's plan, $3 trillion. He hopes to have 100% carbon-free electricity by 2030.
Uh-huh.
He is taking on companies that pollute with increased EPA enforcement, all new passenger vehicles, zero emissions by 2030, a ban on all new fossil fuels. Intends to rejoin the Paris Climate Accords to reverse the approval for the Keystone and Dakota Access Pipeline and establish an environmental justice fund, which will commit $50 billion a year to advance environmental justice and invest in communities long left behind.
Fighting for the civil rights of trees.
There you go. Justice and the environment. They seem to phrase everything in terms of who someone is being.
I don't know. They always put off these things to 10 or 15 years down the road when they say things are going to happen. Mm. You notice this? So that they can implement all these rules and regulations and taxes and so forth. But we can't see whether
it's going to work or
not. Well, it's going to work or not for 15 years from
right,
now.
Right. Went long after.
Because why? Well, he's wanting carbon emissions gone for by when?
2030.
Well, he gets elected president. That's not going to happen right there.
No.
Okay. And anyway, these folks. Now, is he riding his bike?
No.
Cory Booker.
I have not seen him on a bike yet. I've seen him.
He's riding his Suburban.
Does he plug his car in?
I don't know if he does or not. I know that it's flying distance from Washington D.C. to New Jersey.
If these people use cars at all that burn gasoline, they're hypocrites.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Huh? No. Why aren't they?
Yeah. No, I'm with you.
At some level, they are. Or if they fly a plane.
That's what makes private
or
so
private or commercial.
Yeah. And back on the gun control, they're surrounded with armed guards.
Yeah.
And in the heat of the campaign, they're going to be surrounded with Secret Service.
Yeah.
Semi-automatic
who
rifles.
Who have guns.
Big guns.
Right? It's the hypocrisy on the left. It's just every day, all day. These folks, they're gonna decry a need for border security or a border wall with Mexico while they go home to their gated communities. Mm-hmm. Huh?
Walls.
With their private security, with their limousines that come pick them up.
Yeah.
The go people.
I know.
They call them limousine liberals. But anyway, that's interesting. Steve.
Continuing on Washington
so
show.
Cory Booker. He's going to save the world. With his what now? How much going to cost us?
$3 trillion with a T dollars.
All right. Well, that's the you know
that's not bad.
That's not a bad buy compared to AOC's
new Green New Deal.
Yeah.
He's getting a cut. He's got a cut rate on his Save the Planet.
We'll only have to run the printing machines for 4 years instead
right.
of 20.
Exactly. So now Bernie Sanders. The senator from Vermont, he's got a Green New Deal. It's going to cost us $16 trillion. So, I mean, you're getting
pretty soon. You're talking about
funny.
Real money there.
It's funny
you?
That he didn't just round up. You're talking trillions. He did 16.3.
Yeah, he's got it calculated. 16.3.
I'd love to have the rounding error from any of those things go into my bank account.
Yeah.
Now AOC, she was for tearing down all the buildings and building new ones, right?
Yes.
And across America.
Same. I think New York
retrofitting,
City.
Retrofitting. At least retrofitting.
Yeah.
Them. I don't know
what's
if you
retrofitting
means. Means you go in and you tear out the old, put in whatever you need to put in to
like
keep
a full
from,
renovation sometimes.
Yeah. Like you don't have to tear them down, but you do have to put new insulation and all this kind of stuff so they don't give off carbon.
So like you see on HGTV?
Kind of.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that'd keep the property brothers busy for.
It would.
Huh? You imagine all the homes they would have, buildings they would have to do?
And how many companies would go out of business because they can't pay for the renovation?
Yeah. No wonder Chip and Joanna retired.
I know.
You know, they can't. That's too much for anybody to do. You know what I'm saying?
Nope.
Well,
they didn't retire. They moved on to something else, right?
Yeah.
Chip and Joanna Gaines. Mm. Yeah.
Speaking of AOC,
uh-huh.
She and fellow squad member Ariana Presley apparently have money to burn. They are vowing to contribute.
They're burning money. And that isn't that carbon emissions?
That would be. But they're not actually literally burning it; they're spending it. They're raising bail money for 36 counter protesters arrested at a straight pride parade in Boston. You may remember that in Boston, some silly activists decided that they were going to put on a straight pride parade. If gay pride exists, then why not straight pride?
Well, they probably wouldn't say they're silly. They're making a point. If you can have gay pride, we can have straight pride.
Mm-hmm. It's a free country.
Right.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, nine of those protesters were charged with assaulting police. Nonetheless, AOC and Ariana Presley are going to contribute to their bail money, support these people, these police brutality people, over.
Why do they beat up on the police? Or threaten? What do they do to the police?
The police.
You're talking about you got these folks who are at the straight pride parade
right.
and they're marching or they're doing their parade.
Right.
And these LGBT folks come out and to protest the straight pride folks.
Right. Some of them probably the police are protecting the straight pride people and the.
Why did the LGBT folks have a problem with the straight pride people?
they're haters. They're homophobes. Mm-hmm.
For marching?
Yeah. Can't
but they have they're proud of their sexual orientation.
Only gays can be proud that's of right. their sexual orientation.
That's right. Well, only that, if you that, think that's, like them.
That's hypocrisy again, too, from the left. Because, I mean, if you can be proud of your LGBTQ, why can't these other people be proud of their straightness? Without you freaking
so
out
they're
and
raising,
getting all
so
by
they're
it.
Raising bail money.
They're raising bail money. There's a group called the Solidarity Against Hate Legal Defense Fund. Oh, yeah. It's already raising $25,000 to pay bail and other legal fees for those people that were arrested during the march.
You know, that's why I don't believe these polls that say that all the Democrat contenders are above Trump, are beating Trump in the polls by 15%. You know, you see some of these, the Quinnipiac poll that says, you know, all the Democrats are up 12 to 15% over Trump in a general election poll. That's why I'm just having a hard time believing that because, yeah, a large amount of our country is liberal thinking, but I'm just not sure they're that far liberal thinking.
Yeah.
You know? Let's bail out criminals who've assaulted police officers.
Well, at least these members of Congress are. And after the last election in 2016, I don't know what to think of polls anymore.
Yeah, I would be surprised if any of the Democrat presidential candidates disagreed with this, because they seem to all be going left and agreeing with each other on all the policies.
It would seem.
If the LGBT folks had just ignored the straight pride folks, it wouldn't be a problem.
Right.
Huh?
Yeah.
But they decided to go confront them, I guess, and the police got in the way, and the LGBT folks attacked the police.
Some of them.
Right?
Some of them did, yes.
And that's what they're in trouble for?
Some of them.
And now AOC that's Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. AOC is a person, not a condition. And her associate, Representative Anya Pressley from Massachusetts, they're raising money to help with the defense of the LGBT folks who got into it with the cops.
Yes.
Yeah, I got that right?
I don't know if they're LGBT folks. They're people who were protesting the straight pride parade. Mm-hmm. Could have been Antifa types, because they kind of group every conservative together. They figured they were white supremacists and anti-gay
and
misogynistic.
So AOC's rallying cry is, I'm going to keep Amazon from bringing jobs to my district, and I'm going to go across the country to California and bail out criminals.
Yep. Right, and tear down or remodel all the buildings in America.
That too. Add that to the campaign.
I got
to
give her an A for ambition right there. I think, huh?
Yeah,
don't you think so?
She's
motivated. I don't agree with her politics, but the fact she'd want to take on every building in America and remodel it, I think, you know, that...
As long as she pays for it.
Well,
no. No. Come on now. That's the rich people who are going to pay for it. You know how
I just think that's dreaming big is what
it
I'm
is.
Saying.
It's, I it, agree.
It is.
For her.
Yeah. It is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You remember a month or so ago, there was a little dust up in the Rose Garden between a journalist by the name of Brian Karam and Sebastian Gorka.
Yeah, they about had a wrestling match.
They did. They just about. It was at one of the signings of President Trump's stuff. And this journalist, Brian Karam, he is a journalist who is accredited with Playboy. I don't know what Playboy has to do with news,
right?
But they have a journalist covering the White House,
right.
And after he took a look, it was a religious freedom thing that the president was signing in the Rose Garden. He took a look at all these Christians, conservatives who were there, and he made a statement that says it looks like they are prone to demonic possession. Well, our
who
friend
said that about who?
Brian Karam said that about the group that was gathered to witness the crowd in the Rose Garden that was there to witness the signing of the religious freedom.
He's like, shouts this out or something?
He's talking loudly to his colleagues.
Yeah.
And Sebastian Gorka heard it and stood up and yelled at him, said he was a punk.
Right.
And then the White House suspended his credentials subsequently. Well, a judge.
Not Gorka's. The
Gorka's.
Fella.
No.
Because Gorka
works for
was
working for him. This is Brian Karam, this journalist. They pulled his hard card, which is his card that lets him into the White House for press things.
Gotcha.
Said he can no longer cover the White House. Well, an Obama-appointed judge has said, no, That's a violation of the First Amendment. You have to let them in. So Brian Karam has gotten his hard card back and will now be able to cover White House stuff over the White House objections. They're saying they disagree with it, but I'm not sure what they can do. They're not bringing suit yet. I mean, they're not legally challenging the judge's...
You know, the White House should be able to decide who comes to their events.
You might think.
Unilaterally, they should be able to decide.
Yeah. And if they don't want a reporter in there, then the reporter can report from outside.
There's this thing called separation of powers in the Constitution, not that these judges read it.
Right.
But
well, these federal judges, they don't believe in separation of powers.
No. But you have the founders set up the executive branch, the judicial branch, and the legislative branch to all be three independent branches of the government.
Yeah.
Well, this judge is taking the role of the executive branch and trying to say who gets to come onto the White House lawn or not.
In the minds of a lot of federal judges, there is God, and then they would be 1A.
Okay? Right below God.
Right below God. And some of them could consider themselves tied.
Okay.
In terms of almighty power.
Yeah.
With God. That's how these federal judges think. Not all of them. And thank God.
The real one.
The real one, that President Trump is changing all that with one judge at a time.
Yep.
Judges who want to get back to the Constitution. And what I mean by this, all you got to do is look at these Obama-appointed federal judges who make edicts for a region of the country, and they announce that it's national.
Right, nationwide injunctions.
You've seen this happening?
Yeah.
These are all liberal judges. Mm-hmm. They're the ones who say, okay, I got a case in Arizona, which should be relegated to the Arizona appellate court, which maybe impacts three or four states. No, we're going to say that, I'm going to say as a federal judge, what I say goes nationally.
Right.
As if I'm the Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
You see that more and more. Well, these are all liberal activist judges
yep.
who do these kinds of things.
It is odd. It's something maybe next time we have, maybe we have already talked about it with Abe, but I'd be interested in hearing what Abe Hamilton, the third, has to say about that kind of overreach.
Well, he's not here today, Steve, so you have to go with what I think about it.
I accept
okay,
what
and
you
I thought I did
agree
a pretty
with
good
what
job
you
right
think
there.
About it.
Yeah. All right, we got 1 minute left.
Hey, what's going on with this war between Chick-fil-A and Popeyes? Popeyes all of a sudden has gotten hot, and
pun intended.
There's a group of people that went through a drive-through in Popeyes, and they were out of chicken. And this carload got really angry, drove around, and got out with a gun and demanded to be let in to the Popeyes restaurant so they could have some chicken. They left a baby in the car.
Well, listen, I went a little overboard right there. I admit you. But I went on home.
But you did go home.
I did. I got a little, you know.
Did you get your chicken?
I was looking so forward.
I know.
To the Popeye's chicken sandwich, and I got a little carried away. But it won't happen again.
All right. Well, you promise. Do we have a Popeye's here in town?
Yeah.
Love that chicken from Popeye's, right?
Yeah.
Popeye's. Popeye's did introduce a chicken sandwich.
And I hear it's delicious.
That they haven't had before, and them and Chick-fil-A are now in a chicken
fight.
Yeah.
Chicken fight.
Yeah. Chicken
pun intended.
Yeah. They are. All right. Thank you, Steve.
My pleasure.
All right, Walker, thank you.
Yes, sir.
Brent, appreciate it. And we thank Fred Jackson for his contributions the last hour. Hope you have a great day, folks. Keep listening to American Family Radio. We shall see you back here tomorrow.
Were you